This webcast is a service of South Dakota Public Broadcasting. More information at sd.net.
House Commerce and Energy will now come to order. Before we take roll, I want to remind everybody that your cell phones must be shut off. And if you got a laptop or some other device, turn the sound down. And if you're a legislator, make sure you have your badge on, because if you remember last meeting, I fined somebody for not wearing their badge. And with that, the secretary will please call the roll.
Representatives Beal.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Lake.
Here.
McCleary.
Here.
Milstead.
Here.
Miskimmins.
Here.
Perry.
Here.
Sullivan.
Here.
Weiss.
Here.
Willardson.
Here.
Zickmund.
Here.
Gosch.
Here.
Rounds.
Here.
We do have a quorum. Representative Willardson, did you spend the past couple of days or yesterday reading the minutes?
They were very concise, Mr. Chair, so I'd move that we approve the minutes.
We have a motion by Representative Willardson to approve the minutes. That motion is seconded by Representative Beal. Any discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all in favor of approval of the minutes, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. Minister, so approved. Welcome everybody here today. Welcome those that are listening over the internet. We do have four bills. We're going to get to them really quickly here. I do want to just make a comment. Our chamber, the House chamber, had a loss here with our Sergeant at Arms. His wife passed away. And her funeral is this morning at 11 o'clock. A number of members of this committee, including the chair and vice chair, would like to attend that. But we've got four pieces of legislation we have to take up. I've read them through, and I'm sure most of you have, and I'm trying to get my vice chair to support all four of them. We're debating on one of them. But we're going to get right to it and try and get everybody out of here in time to go to that funeral. Brief reminder, if you're going to testify today, please remember to sign in. If you've got anything to distribute to the committee, anything to pass out, we've got two pages here today to help. With that, if you two would like to come on up to the chair there, turn on the microphone, tell us who you are, where you're from, and what your plans are after college. After high school, not after college. We'll get to that later.
I'm Katie Roth. I'm a junior from Marion High School. And after high school, I plan on attending Mount Marty College and getting a degree in business, finance, and a minor in political science.
Very good.
Hi, I'm Jonathan Sundid. I'm a junior at Brookings High School. I plan on going to SDSU and majoring in political science and minoring in econ.
Very good. Did you just show us a prop? Yeah. And being the chair of commerce, I accept props in committee on certain occasions, and I'll let that one fly.
The prop, if it was ice cream, would be better.
Better, much better. Do any of the members have a personal privilege, anything interesting for the committee? Seeing none, let's get into the bills. First bill up today is House Bill 1032. House Bill 1032 is an act to revise provisions regarding money transmission. It's this time the chair will ask for proponent testimony in House Bill 1032.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Brett Aftal. I'm the director of the Division of Banking here today to ask for your favorable consideration on House Bill 1032. One of the areas that we regulate are money transmitters in South Dakota. So money transmitter sells or issues stored value instruments and receive and transmit money to other locations. So they operate in South Dakota through authorized delegates, typically a retail location like a gas station, grocery store, coffee shop type of place where you can go in and execute that kind of transaction. The more traditional type money lenders would be Western Union, MoneyGram, Segway. Some of the newer ones would be Airbnb, Amazon Payments, Apple Payments, Square, eBay Commerce, Stripe, those kind of entities. And then the very recent ones that have started to become licensed in our state is Coinbase, CoinEx, and other cryptocurrency-related transmitters. So currently we have 115 of these companies licensed, and they're all licensed through the nationwide multi-state licensing system. And Representative Milstead asked a good question before committee, so I'll spend just a second talking about the naming of that system. So that system was created back in 2006 by the state regulators, and at the time it was created for the licensing of mortgage loan originators. And then in 2008, it was enshrined into federal law. So in the law, both state law and federal law, it's still referred to as the Nationwide Mortgage Licensing System. It's been rebranded since that to the industry, because there's now over 40 different license types that are licensed through the system. But I just want to make that point that there's a distinction between kind of the branding. It's almost like a DBA and the legal name of the entity. And as I said, that's owned by the states through our national organization, the Conference of State Bank Supervisors. So the NMLS provides one-stop shop, or one-stop licensing for different types of entities to become licensed in multiple states. Currently, our background check process does not lend itself well to that process, because for the mortgage or for the money transmitters, we need to send out two hard copy fingerprint cards to them. They need to get them completed on all of their individuals, mail them back to us, then we forward them through the mail to DCI, and then they process the background, do the background check through the DCI system and the FBI. But what's in House Bill 1032 would allow us to have those licensees just complete one set of fingerprints, upload it to the system, and then the system has an agreement directly with the FBI, so they could complete that background check, not only for South Dakota, but any other state that they're applying to be licensed in all at one time. So it would be much more efficient than having these one-off transactions happening outside of the system. And I want to make clear there would be no loss or change in the consumer protection provided, because South Dakota law requires law enforcement to report all arrest records to the FBI database. So we're really doing two checks to find the same information. And because most of these people are not from South Dakota or living in South Dakota, the South Dakota specific check is really a non-value added process. It's just another step, but it doesn't generate any results. And it also reduced the cost for the individuals. The combined background check costs $43.25 per person, and the FBI-only background check would cost $16.50. So with that background, I'll touch on the bill briefly. There's more form and style editing done in the bill by LRC than actual substantive changes, but I'll walk through the substantive changes. So at the end of Section 1, the bill would mandate the use of the NMLS for all money transmitters. When we made this an option back in 2015, we made it just that, optional for the industry. And I think the efficiency of the system is really reinforced by what the industry have done. They've all opted to use the system and not send us paper applications. As I said, all 115 of them are licensed through the system. So that would only affect future licensees. And then sections 2 through 5 replace the current process of requiring two sets of hard copy fingerprint cards being mailed back and forth multiple times. And it replaces that with one set of complete fingerprints that are sent directly or uploaded to the NMLS system for processing through the FBI. Section 6, there's no substantive change there. There's the end of that section there on lines 13 and 14 on page 6. It just deletes some transition language that's no longer necessary. And then the other substantive changes in Section 7, this would provide us the ability to share information back and forth with the Department of Justice, which the FBI is part of. So that would facilitate at the state level that background check process through the system. The federal law is already in place. That's been in place since 2015. So this would be the last step that we would need to put in place to be able to allow this more efficient processing of this background check. So, and with that, Mr. Chair, there's no state-based association in South Dakota related to this industry, but there is a Money Services Business Association that operates nationally. And I had hoped to have had a support letter for you today from that organization. I have an email from them, but they do support our effort in this area, because the less, when you think about it, if an Apple Pay wants to get licensed in 50 states, and if 30 states have some manual process like this outside of the system, you can understand that it really burdens their ability to get licensed in all the states efficiently when they have to do this in South Dakota, do that in Nebraska, do this other thing in North Dakota. It really slows down the process, and in this case, it doesn't benefit anyone. So with that, I'd ask for your support of the bill and would certainly stand by for any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Afdahl. Are there any other proponents to House Bill 1032? Any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1032? Are there any opponents? Seeing none, I'm going to open it up to committee questions. Are there questions of the committee? Seeing that, I'm going to close public testimony, open it up to committee discussion and or action on House Bill 1032. Representative Gosch.
Move to pass.
We have a motion from Representative Gosch to pass on House Bill 1032.
Second.
And that is seconded by Representative McCleary. Comments on that motion, Representative Gosch? Anybody have comments on that motion? I was hoping somebody would so I could assign it to them. That's why everybody's being quiet. I think this is a good bill. Streamlined, Representative Perry.
I'll give a comment on this because I like to help my friend out here, Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I think it's a good bill. It has a good thought process behind it. It was well explained, and I think we should move forward with it.
Thank you, Representative Perry. And for that, I will not assign it to you. Any other comments, Representative Sullivan?
You can assign it to me if you'd like.
Thank you.
I think she had fun yesterday.
Yeah, I think she did. And with that, any other comments? With that, the question is, do pass on House Bill 1032. All those in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Beal.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Lake.
Aye.
McCleary.
Aye.
Milstead. Miskimmins.
Aye.
Perry.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Aye.
Weiss.
Aye.
Willardson.
Aye.
Zickmund.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye.
Have an affirmative vote. House Bill 1032 will move to the floor with the due pass recommendation. Representative Gosch. Or Representative Weiss. Weiss.
Consent.
We have a motion for consent, seconded by Gosch. All those in favor, any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. House Bill 1032 will move to the floor with the due pass recommendation and be placed on the consent calendar. And Representative Sullivan, if anybody asks a question on the floor, you are responsible to answer. Or do you want somebody else to answer the questions?
Mr. Chair, understood.
Okay. And we'll figure out somebody to. Representative Willardson, carry it to caucus. Okay, our next bill up today is House Bill 1034. This is an act to revise certain provisions regarding unemployment insurance contribution rates. This time the chair will ask for proponent testimony in House Bill 1034. Good morning, Madam Secretary.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, committee members. I am Marcia Holtman, and I'm the Secretary for the Department of Labor and Regulation. Happy to be here in front of the committee again this morning. I'm here to visit with you about House Bill 1034, and in summary, this bill, just for a little of history, in 2016, the Unemployment Insurance Advisory Council unanimously supported adjusting the unemployment insurance tax rate based on a healthy trust fund. So our goal was really to establish a level of solvency in the trust fund and then to be able to adjust our tax tables accordingly. In the past, there could be an instance when the trust fund was too low that a surcharge would kick in, and we wanted to make assurances that that would never happen again in the future. But we also wanted to make sure that we closely monitored that trust fund balance, and should it happen to grow to be a number that was more than what was needed, then we wanted to make sure that employers were getting a tax cut to reflect that balance. And so that's what this bill does. In reflecting on the trust fund balance over the last few years, we've found that it has held steady, and so we are therefore recommending that instead of the current alternate tax table that's in place, we would adjust accordingly and put a new tax table in place that would further reduce the tax to employers by 0.05%. It is estimated that this will be a tax savings annually of about $2.5 million to the businesses of the state. And so it's not very often I get to come forward with a bill that proposes a reduction in taxes, but does not negatively impact the general fund. So with that, I would stand by for any questions and further comments if needed.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Are there any other proponents to House Bill 1034?
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, David Owen, South Dakota Chamber of Commerce and Industry, and I am also a member of the Unemployment Insurance Advisory Council. It's a little early in the session to resort to being honest, but I'll do it in this case. If these rates were going up, we'd all be here howling like mashed cats. We've put a good system in place to monitor that trust fund so it doesn't get too large and use the increases to bring down rates. And so in conclusion, it's a good bill. This is a good step. But I also want to leave assuring this legislative body, this is a well-run department. These people have been doing a good job for decades and managed themselves through two or three crises that we've watched. We appreciate the professionals at the department. Hope you vote for the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Owen. Additional proponents?
This is one of those puzzles.
It is quite a dance to get up to the podium. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Deb Mortensen, Associated General Contractors. We too rise in support of this bill. It is wonderful to have stability in the trust fund, and it's also wonderful to be able to earn a tax decrease. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Mortensen. Any other proponents?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Lindsay Ryder Rapp, and I'm a registered lobbyist for the National Federation of Independent Businesses. I've been here long enough that I remember when the trust fund was at an unhealthy level and the surcharge had to kick in. The department obviously has monitored that very closely and has gotten to the point where it understands what is a healthy balance. And when we have a healthy balance in place, that there's then the tax cuts that have been implemented. And we certainly support further tax cuts. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Other proponents to House Bill 1034.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Julie Johnson. I rise both as a former Secretary of Labor and as a lobbyist, registered lobbyist for South Dakota Society of Human Resource Managers, commonly known as SHRM in South Dakota. These are the frontline professionals in our workplaces all over South Dakota who try to make sense out of all this and who try to balance the books and be sure their people are taken care of. We would rise in support of all this. I would add my voice also to the great professionalism and efforts at the department and thank them publicly for working so hard on these issues the last several years. We would urge your support of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Other proponents to House Bill 1034.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Lynn Kendall with the Rapid City Chamber of Commerce. Just make this short and sweet. We to support this bill and thank the department for all their work with our local businesses and urge your support. Thanks.
Thank you. Additional proponents on House Bill 1034.
Good
Good morning, Deborah Owen from the Sioux Falls Area Chamber of Commerce. We rise in support of this bill and for all of the aforementioned reasons, but we also, in addition, want to call out to just a support of Secretary Holtman. She does a great job with this and many other areas in labor and employment, so thank you so much.
Thank you. And I see one last proponent. Come on down.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Jim Hood, registered lobbyist for the South Dakota Retailers Association. I would echo all of the comments by the previous proponents, and in the interest of getting you to the church on time, would say meet you and ask for your support.
Thank you, Mr. Hood. Last call, any other proponents? Seeing none, I will now open it up to all the opponents to House Bill 1034. Seeing none, no need for rebuttal, unless you want to rebuttal all that. I will now open it up to committee questions. Questions of the committee. Representative Lake.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I guess my question is for Secretary Holtman. And just a clarification, you said you referenced the law change in 2016 that made these changes possible. I'm sure there was changes that could be made before 2016. How were those changes made before? I guess that's my question. What was done before to make changes possible, or weren't there changes made?
Mr. Chair, if I may, I think if I understand your question correctly, what we put in place in 2016 was really a relatively new concept. We didn't have anything previously that established a healthy level for the trust fund. And so we do have two tax tables right now, and if it's at a certain level, and I won't go into the methodology that establishes that, then it results in the table that gives employers a tax cut. But if we should fall below that level, then immediately the next year that higher tax table goes back into place. And that allows us to be reactive in a much quicker fashion, which is why we should be able to avoid that surcharge ever kicking in, because on an annual basis now we can adjust what that tax rate is.
Follow up?
Yeah, so before 2016, it would just be, it just kind of chose a level and each year and say, well, let's change it to this level without any indicators.
Mr. Chair, if I may, no, we didn't change it before. It was set in law, and so we would have just had to come in and ask for the entire tax table. It was stable. It didn't change from year to year unless specifically requested of the legislature.
Okay. And thank you for not going into the methodology on that. Are there any other questions of the committee? Any further questions of the committee? Seeing none, I'm going to close public testimony, open it up to committee discussion and or action on House Bill 1034. Representative Willardson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Willardson moves do pass for House Bill 1034.
Second.
We have a motion from Representative Willardson do pass on House Bill 1034, and that is seconded by Representative Gosch. Discussion on that motion, Representative Willardson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, I was here when the surcharge got to kick in, as you were, Mr. Chair, and it was a bit of a painful operation when we went through all the ins and outs of that. And so I, too, would like to thank the department for the corrections that they've made and the work that they've done, and also the Unemployment Insurance Advisory Council. They have done yeoman's duty in stabilizing the rates for our employers. So we should honor their request and go ahead and pass this, put it on the consent calendar, and send it to the floor.
Thank you, Representative Willardson. Any further comments on the do pass motion? Any further comments? Question is, do pass on House Bill 1034? At this point, we'll take the vote on it. All those in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Beal.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Lake.
Aye.
McCleary.
Aye.
Milstead. Ms. Gimmons.
Aye.
Perry.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Aye.
Weiss.
Aye.
Willardson.
Aye.
Zickmund.
Aye.
Gosch.
Aye.
Rounds.
Aye. Have an affirmative vote of 13 to nothing. House Bill 1034 will be moved to the floor with a due pass recommendation and will not be on consent, because we need to brag about this. Representative Willitson, you were around back during the bad days. I'm going to allow you the opportunity to carry this to the floor for the good days.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
That's two in a row.
Two in a row? Oh, and I'll take the other one. I'll take that previous one for caucus in. I wanted you to get a chance to brag on the floor. Next bill up is House Bill 1035. This is an act to rename the Unemployment Insurance Program to the Reemployment Assistance Program. Just down to Chair, I'll ask for proponent testimony on House Bill 1035.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Again, Marsha Holtman from the Department of Labor and Regulation, committee members. The next bill I'd like to talk to you about this morning is House Bill 1035. And I first want to give you some quick, brief history on the history of unemployment insurance. The unemployment insurance program provides temporary weekly payments to people who have lost their job through no fault of their own. The payments are meant for unemployed persons to temporarily provide basic necessities for themselves and their families while they're seeking new employment. The basic idea is that the money would be immediately spent, thus not only helping the individuals, but also providing a direct stimulus to their local economies. Public unemployment insurance first appeared in Wisconsin in 1932 as part of the effort to provide relief to workers who were unemployed as a result of the 1929 financial crisis. Six other states followed suit before the first federal unemployment insurance program was created as part of the Social Security Act of 1935. By 1937, every state in the Union and the then territories of Alaska and Hawaii had enacted unemployment insurance programs. It is important to note this bill makes no changes to the administration of this longstanding program, neither to the collection of taxes nor to the payments of benefits. Words are important. Whether we're dealing with their connotations or denotations, words make a difference. Unemployment insurance literally means a benefit when someone is unemployed. The connotation of these words is equally important. While lengthy, this bill makes one simple, albeit impactful, change to the unemployment insurance system. Rather than being called unemployment insurance, which denotes it is a benefit while unemployed, with the passage of this bill, the program would be referred to as reemployment assistance. Please remember this support for individuals who have lost their job through no fault of their own is intended to help that individual while they're seeking a new job. The subtle name change proposed in House Bill 1035 better reflects the intent of the program. In recent history, the Department of Labor and Regulation has increased our focus on helping individuals who have found themselves to be unemployed to enter into that next job. Under our reemployment services program, each week an unemployed individual is receiving benefits, we increase the amount of services that we provide to them. Study after study has shown that the longer someone is unemployed, the more difficult it becomes for them to re-enter the workforce. This is because, or in keeping with this philosophy of assisting individuals to re-enter the workforce as quickly as possible, I ask for your favorable consideration of House Bill 1035. Again, it's important to note that this bill, though lengthy, makes no changes to the collection of taxes nor to the payments of benefits. The administration of this program would not be impacted. I respectfully request your support of this bill and our mission to help individuals re-enter the workforce as quickly as possible. Mr. Chair, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. Any other proponents to House Bill 1035? Are there any additional proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1035? Are there any opponents? Seeing none, I'll open it up to committee questions. Questions of the committee, Representative Gosch.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This one would be for Madam Secretary. Can you tell me the statistics on seasonal employees and their unemployment?
Mr. Chair, I do have Pauline Heyer, who's the director of our unemployment insurance division, with me as well for backup. So if I may phone a friend, I would ask Pauline to join me at the podium.
If she was not here during your briefing in front of the committee, have her come on up and she'll answer the question.
All right, correct. Thank you. So it's a good opportunity for you to all meet Pauline as well.
Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. My name is Pauline Heyer, and I am the Unemployment Insurance Director for the Department of Labor.
Could you restate the question, Representative Gosch?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. How much of the current unemployment insurance program is enrollment due to seasonal employment?
Because our state is kind of seasonal in nature, that really depends on the time of the year. During the winter months, like right now, we're probably looking, and this is just strictly, I don't have a specific number, but it's roughly probably about two-thirds are filing, and then, of course, that will reverse during the summer months.
Follow up.
So you have a follow up?
So did I understand that correctly? It's two-thirds of those that are on unemployment are seasonal employees for the winter months?
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Further questions of the committee? Representative Milstead.
I just have a comment. I love the history lesson. That was awesome. And I also appreciate your mission. I think renaming that to something that is more positive, and that's what we want, is that workforce to increase and get back to work. I think you've done a great job.
Thank you. Any further questions? Representative Weiss.
Mr. Chair. My question is when you go to do a name change, what kind of expenses are we going to be looking at? Signage, paperwork, things that all have to be retitled. How much work and money is going to be involved in switching that stuff over?
Ms. Holtman.
Mr. Chair, we have looked at that, and we haven't put a dollar amount to it exactly. So much of what we do anymore is online, so some of those fixes are very quick, a simple name change. And some of the behind the scenes, we wouldn't necessarily have to even make those edits. It's more for the public awareness and the public face that we would put forth. So, yes, there would be an expense, but we've not really fully evaluated what that would be at this time.
If I can follow up on that question, would this be something you did over time, or is it going to be tomorrow morning the change?
Mr. Chair, thank you for that question. That's very good. We're always very careful in our approach. As perhaps paper forms are utilized, then we always replace with the new forms. We've had, unfortunately, in our department, many name changes over the years, and we always do it in the most careful and considerate fiscal manner possible and don't find it necessary to rush in and redo everything overnight.
Okay, thank you. Representative Johnson.
Secretary Haltman, thank you again for the testimony. And my question is, have other states undergone this name change from unemployment to reemployment?
Mr. Chair, thank you for that question. I would like to think that we are the most original, but we're not. Florida is the only state so far that has enacted legislation to make this change, but it's a conversation at the national level that is very consistent. The federal government has put very strong emphasis on reemployment services for those seeking unemployment insurance. And so with my colleagues in other states, I know other states are also looking at the similar name change.
Follow-up? Are there further questions of the committee? I do have a question, and I think Ms. Heyer could probably answer this. It's down the line of questioning Representative Gosch had asked previously. Out of those two-thirds, would they be seasonal employees? How many of those are going to be reemployed? I mean, are they just off for the season? The intention of most of them to be reemployed during the spring months or when the season changes?
Mr. Chair, if I may. So an employee that's on call back, their status would remain unchanged. It's assumed and documented that they will be returning to their previous employer. And the requirements for them are slightly different from others that do not have a call back to a specified employee. Or, excuse me, employer.
Okay, thank you. Further questions of the committee? Any further questions? Representative Carl Perry.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you for your information that you shared with us today, Madam Secretary. I would like to say that I wholeheartedly think this is a really good idea, And I think that we're moving in the right direction when we do things that recognize what we really are trying to do. We're giving reemployment assistance. And we're not talking about unemployment. We're talking about getting people back to work. I thought that was really good. Thank you.
Was that a question?
No, it was just a really nice statement.
Okay. You can respond to that statement if you wish.
Mr. Chair, thank you very much. I'm very humbled by the comments in committee this morning, so thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other questions? Seeing none, I'm going to close public testimony and now open it up to committee discussion and or action on House Bill 1035. Discussion and or action, Representative Willardson.
Mr. Chair, Willardson moves do pass for House Bill 1035.
We have a motion by Representative Willardson do pass on House Bill 1035. That was seconded by Representative Sullivan. Representative Willardson, comments?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think the comments and the testimony at this point have laid it out pretty well. This is a good idea, and we should proceed with it to the floor.
Are there any other comments on the do-pass motion? I looking at the bill today, this, I thought, was close. Not quite there, but close to the unemployment insurance bill. I think this is a good idea. I think words do mean something, the attitude people have with reemployment as opposed to unemployment. And I think it'll take some time, but I think it's going to catch on. We had some discussion on the seasonal end. Eventually, hopefully, all of them are going back to work, so reemployment fits it. I'm going to ask the committee to support this bill, and let's move it on to the floor. And with that, the question is, do pass on House Bill 1035. All those in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Beal.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Lake.
Aye.
McCleary.
Aye.
Milstead.
Aye.
Miskimmins.
Aye.
Perry.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Aye.
Weiss.
Nay.
Willardson.
Aye.
Dickmond.
Aye.
Gosch.
Sure.
And Rounds.
Aye. Have an affirmative vote of the committee, 11-2. House Bill 1035 will move to the floor and be placed on the debate calendar. Eeny, meeny, miny, mo. Representative Johnson, would you like to carry this to the floor?
Mr. Chair, I would be more than happy to.
Thank you, sir. And with that, we are to our last bill of the day. This would be House Bill 1036. This is an act to revise provisions related to the Board of Technical Professions. The chair will ask for proponent testimony on House Bill 1036.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Hunter Roberts with the Department of Labor and Regulation. I stand in support here of House Bill 1036 today. The reason the department brought the bill was to update a couple references in the statute. Three different sections of code are impacted. And through this process, the LRC brought together re-alphabetizing the definitions and some style and form changes. But overall, we agree with the changes. We think this is a good bill just to update our code. And the Board of Technical Professionals, that name change was over a decade ago. It's just something that I think was missed in the process. So, pretty simple bill. I stand by for questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Roberts. Are there any other proponents to House Bill 1036? Are there any other proponents? Seeing none, are there any opponents to House Bill 1036? Are there any opponents? Seeing none, I'll open up to committee questions. Seeing no questions of the committee, I'll close public testimony, open it up to committee discussion and or action on House Bill 1036. Representative Gosch.
Move do pass.
We have a motion. Representative Gosch, do pass on House Bill 1036. I thought it was Representative Lake over here that yelled at first. Seconded by Representative Lake. Discussion on that motion. Representative Gosch.
None needed. Good job.
Any further discussion on the do-pass motion? Seeing none, the question is due pass on House Bill 1036. All those in favor will signify by saying aye. Those opposed, nay. Secretary will call the roll.
Representatives Beal.
Pass.
Johnson.
Aye.
Lake.
Aye.
McCleary.
Aye.
Milstead. Ms. Gibbons.
Aye.
Perry.
Aye.
Sullivan.
Aye.
Weiss.
Aye.
Willardson.
Aye.
Zickmund.
Aye.
Gosch.
He has to vote before the vice chair and the chair. Those are my rules.
Who has to vote?
Aye.
Did I miss you?
He passed.
Oh, you passed.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for the reminder.
Okay.
All right. Representatives Gosch. Rounds.
All right.
Thank you.
Having an affirmative vote of the committee, House Bill 1036 will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Chair, move consent.
We have a motion from Representative McCleary to move consent on House Bill 1036. That motion was seconded by Representative Gosch. Discussion on that motion. Hearing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay. House Bill 1036 will move to the floor with a due pass recommendation and be placed on the consent calendar. Representative Zickmund, you're familiar with this topic. You're going
to. I don't think you want me to talk today.
Well, this will be a couple of days, probably next week.
You're going to give me a chance. I'll try.
I feel comfortable. You're familiar with it. So. And with that, are there any discussion concerning the good of the caucus or the committee?
I move we adjourn.
I like that one. Representative McCleary moves we adjourn. Is that a second by Representative Perry? All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, nay.
No.
We are adjourned. Thank you.